Stories, fables, ghostly tales.
Welcome, dear listeners, to Stories, Fables, Ghostly Tales, and I'm your host, the Tale Teller. Where shadows stretch long, whispers slip through the cracks, and I do my best to bring you into worlds both wondrous and wicked. Tonight, we invite you to adrift into a haunting new tale, one wrapped in glass, gears, and sleepless nights. No names, no clues, no promises, only this. When the last light flickers, when the last breath curls into the dark, something waits, something delicate, something patient. So lean in close, press your ear to the darkness, and let me guide you into the soft, chilling heart of tonight's story. Turn the lights off, turn the sound up, and let's begin. The Hollow Hour, a tale of bottled sleep and silent machines. Chapter 1. The Bottles on the Window. The room was always quiet at night, the kind of quiet that pressed against the skin and wormed into the bones. Alara lay in bed, staring at the ceiling, watching faint shadows ripple across the cracked plaster as the city's dim streetlights flickered through the thin curtains. Rain traced delicate, glistening lines down the glass, each droplet crawling slowly, a pale insect against the night. Sleep should have come, but it didn't. The hours stretched thin, their shapes distorted, bending around her as if time itself had forgotten how to move properly. Her hands trembled faintly on the blanket, her eyes ached, her heart dragged slowly in her chest like an anchor through cold water. The weight of exhaustion clung to her skin, heavy as a wet shroud. When the grey morning finally peeled itself from the horizon, her eyes slipped toward the window. There, standing on the sill, was a bottle. Small, delicate, thin as a finger. Glass so clear, it was almost invisible, except for the faint, pulsing glow trapped within. She sat up slowly, her body creaking like old wood. The bottle pulsed softly, rhythmically, as if it breathed. It had not been there the night before. Reaching out, she touched it. The glass was cold, damp. Her fingers hesitated at the cork, but exhaustion dulled the edge of her caution. She uncorked it. A thin mist curled upward, pale and sweet-smelling, dissolving almost immediately into the room's chill air. She stared for a long time, her heart pacing quietly in her throat. When she turned away, the bottle remained. Empty now, glinting faintly in the grey light. That night, sleep ran from her again. The city outside became a smear of lights, smeared voices, shapeless figures moving beneath the lamps. Alara pressed her forehead to the window, watching them blur, her reflection shimmering faintly back at her, thin and washed out. In the morning, there were two bottles, neatly lined beside the first, both pulsing faintly. By the end of the week, there were five. By the end of the next, a dozen. They appeared everywhere. On the sill, on the dresser, on the floor, along the bookshelf, balanced carefully on the narrow bathroom sink. Her body withered, her cheeks hollowed, her hands trembled without cause. Her eyes sank deep into their sockets, ringed in purple shadows. She saw herself only in passing. in window panes, in the flicker of mirrors, thin and ghostly, something slowly being drawn away. And at night she felt the faintest sensation, as if invisible fingers traced lines across her skin, delicate as silk, curling around her wrists, her temple, her chest. She began to avoid the bed, sitting upright through the night, bones aching, staring at the glow of the bottles, lining the room like a strange constellation. The bottles pulsed softly, always waiting. Chapter 2. The House of Broken Objects. Ilara wandered the city with footsteps that barely touched the ground. The streets folded around her, narrow and crooked, their cobblestones wet with mist, lined by buildings that leaned too close, windows that stared like unblinking eyes. The tram bells rang faintly, far away, muffled by the thick grey air. She drifted through the alleys without aim, her mind fogged, her body aching with a hunger she couldn't name. Her eyes slid past people without seeing them. Time blurred. One afternoon melting into the next, one rain-washed street corner bleeding into another, and then she saw it. A door where no door had been before. Wedged between two leaning buildings, half hidden behind peeling posters. The narrow wooden door sat crooked in its frame. Above it, a faded, hand-painted sign read, "Herr Voss, Collector of Broken Objects." She pushed inside. The air within smelled of rust, old paper, and dried herbs. Dim yellow lamps hung from sagging chains, casting pale circles of light over shelves crowded with glass jars, shattered mirrors, brass keys, clock faces without hands, and bones thin as bird claws. At the center of the room stood a long table, cluttered with delicate tools, strange mechanisms, shards of black stone, silver wires tangled like hair. The room pulsed faintly as if breathing. She wandered slowly, her fingers trailing across the shelves. Every object seemed to hum faintly under her touch. Jars of teeth, spools of hair, broken eyeglasses, snipped lengths of braid, unlabeled bottles holding thin, pale liquids that shifted when they caught the light. She felt the pull of it, deep in her chest, the same pull that dragged her home at night, that filled her rooms with the glowing bottles that slipped invisible hands across her skin as she lay sleepless. At the far end of the room, a chair stood facing the wall. It was empty. On the table before it, carefully arranged, sat dozens of empty glass bottles, identical to the ones that crowded her window. They waited, clean, precise, sharp-edged, ready. The air thickened, her breath caught. The room tilted faintly around her, its edges curling inward like a page about to turn. And then, with sudden, sharp clarity, she knew she was no longer alone. The room seemed to darken the longer Ilara stood there. Shadows gathered in the corners, not sharp, but slow, like ink soaking into the air. Her eyes moved across the shelves again, tracing over the delicate, crumbling things. A cracked porcelain doll's head, the glassy eyes long gone. A bundle of rusted keys, none matching, each looped on thin wire. A bundle of long, pale braids tied with faded blue ribbon. And a mechanical bird, its wings bent, gears exposed like raw bone. The longer she stood, the more she felt the objects shifted under her gaze, not moving but not still, either. They held their breath, waiting. Her chest tightened. she stepped forward toward the chair at the far end, where the table waited under the dim yellow lamps. The empty bottles gleamed softly, their clean glass smooth and perfect. They were identical to the ones in her home, yet they felt heavier somehow, as though they carried more weight than glass should. Her fingers hovered above one. The air around it felt colder. The floor creaked faintly. She flinched, her breath catching, her eyes darting to the corner of the room. But nothing moved. Only the shelves, only the bottles, only the slow, silent breathing of the space itself. Her legs weakened. She lowered herself into the chair. Her hands pressed to the table, fingers spread wide, trembling faintly. A faint humming sound filled her head, soft at first, then louder, more insistent. The vibration of glass against glass, of wires straining, of gears half turning. Her body felt thin, weightless, her breath slow. The humming swelled, and then, with sudden, sick clarity, she realized she was sinking, not into the chair, not into the floor, but into herself, into the thin, trembling space between her own skin and the heavy, cold air. The room folded inward, the lamps flickered, the bottles on the table began to glow. Faintly pulsing with the same soft breath as those lined along her window at home. A single sharp crack split the silence. Not a voice, not a word, just the sound of something delicate, something vital, snapping quietly out of place. Chapter 3. The Automation Choir. The streets outside the antique shop twisted and bent, their narrow alleys no longer familiar. Ilara stumbled through them, her hands clutching the sides of buildings, her breath shallow and fast, fog curling from her mouth, as if the cold inside her chest was finally leaking out. Night had fallen without warning. The lamps cast uneven pools of light across the wet cobblestones, and each time her eyes lifted, she swore the streets had shifted. New alleys opening, old ones closing, windows flickering in and out of place. Her body moved without command, carrying her deeper into the city's bones. Her feet splashed through thin puddles, the water cold against her ankles. Above, high towers leaned, their jagged rooftops framed against a moonless sky, as if the very city itself were bending in to listen. And then she heard it, a thin, metallic sound, faint, delicate, a note, a hum, like the softest chime of a clock just before it strikes. She followed. The sound drew her into a wide plaza she did not remember. A stone circle ringed by crumbling statues, their faces eroded, their mouths parted in silent gasps. At the center of the plaza stood the choir. Dozens of figures, tall and thin, arranged in precise lines. Their bodies were jointed, mechanical, their arms ending in delicate fingers of brass and silver. Their faces were blank, porcelain, mouths slightly parted, hollow eyes staring forward without seeing. And from their open mouths rose a sound, faint, layered, a harmony so thin it barely touched the air, a song without words. Ilara stepped closer, her heart stuttering painfully. The song was inside her ears, her bones, her teeth. She felt it vibrating through the soles of her feet, curling up her spine, wrapping around her throat. Each automaton held something in its chest, a small, glowing bottle, nestled where a heart might have once been. The light pulsed faintly, rising and falling with the breath of the song, each bottle softly aglow, softly feeding the harmony that filled the plaza. Her legs trembled. She reached out. The nearest figure tilted its head, slow, mechanical, deliberate. Its porcelain face cracked faintly at the jaw as its mouth stretched wider, the sound swelling from within, a note that scraped the edges of the night. And then the others moved, heads turning in perfect, synchronized grace. Eyes, those hollow, empty eyes, fixing on her. The song shifted, deepened, throbbed. The bottles in their chests glowed brighter. She stumbled back. Her foot slipped onto the wet stone, her hand catching on cold metal. The choir's arms lifted. Thin, elegant fingers curled, reached. The air thickened. The song rose. And for one terrible moment, Alara understood. The bottles were not glowing from within. They were glowing because of what had been put inside. Voices, breaths, fragments, pieces, all stitched into the machine, all feeding the song. She ran. The choir's song chased her down the alleyways, rising behind her like a tide. Thin voices folding over one another, weaving a net of sound. Her chest burned, her vision blurred. Everywhere she turned, the streets shifted, bent, folded, leading her deeper, deeper into a part of the city she had never known. The ground beneath her feet became glass. The buildings became mirrors, and in every reflection, she saw herself, pale, flickering, her mouth wide open in a soundless cry. The song faded only when she collapsed, breathless into darkness. She lay curled on the cold ground, her hands trembling, her heart pounding so hard she thought it might break. Somewhere far above, the faintest note still lingered, soft, mechanical, eternal. She pressed her face into her hands and did not sleep. Chapter 4. The City Beneath the City. Alara awoke not in her bed, not in her room, but on cold, damp stone. Her body ached, her arms trembling under her own weight as she pushed herself up slowly, her palms pressing into gritty floor. Around her stretched a tunnel, long and narrow, its stone walls slick with moisture, its ceilings arched, like the ribcage of some ancient sleeping thing. Thin rivulets of water ran along the edges, disappearing into hairline cracks that vanished under the earth. Above, the city she knew should have waited. The tram bells, the tilting rooftops, the windows winking like tired eyes. But here, only silence. Only the heavy mechanical hush of a world that had no need for breath. Alara rose to her feet. The air smelled of rust, old dust, and faintly, faintly, of glass. Her feet carried her forward without command, deeper into the tunnel. Each step echoed thin and hollow, swallowed almost immediately by the thick walls. The corridor twisted, turned, sloped downward. Soon the stone walls gave way to something else. Great iron beams, arcing overhead. Gears embedded in the walls. Enormous chains looped into the darkness beyond sight. She passed rooms she dared not enter. Chambers filled with suspended glass orbs. Vast iron wheels that turned so slowly they barely seemed to move. Tables covered in scattered wires and delicate tools. Somewhere deeper still, a low hum filled the air, so deep it vibrated in her chest. It was the sound of something enormous, something patient, something turning in its sleep. She reached a wide archway carved into black stone, its edges worn smooth by time. Beyond it stretched a vast chamber. The city beneath the city. The space stretched endlessly, a cathedral of iron and shadow. Girders crisscrossed overhead like skeletal ribs, pipes twisted along the walls, dripping faintly into pools below. Enormous gears, larger than houses, turned in slow, relentless circles. Long glass tubes lined the perimeter, each glowing faintly with pale light. Alara stepped forward, her breath catching in her throat. Shapes floated inside the tubes. Human shapes. Their outlines blurred, their features soft and unfinished, like memories caught halfway between thought and forgetting. They pulsed faintly, the same soft rhythm as the bottles. She moved carefully through the maze of machinery, her footsteps muffled by the low hum, the faint hiss of steam, the thin metallic threads running underfoot like veins. She reached one of the tubes, pressing her hand lightly to the cold glass. The figure inside stirred. Or perhaps it was only liquid, shifting faintly, pulsing faintly, dancing with stolen light. Ahead, a new figure waited. Wrapped in tattered robes, a porcelain mask cracked along the jaw. The beggar prince stood still as stone. He lifted a gloved hand, extending a small, empty bottle toward her. His head tilted slightly. No words, no need. Alara understood. This was the heart of it. This was where the collected dreams, the stolen breaths, the hollowed out nights were drawn, fed, spun into motion. This was where the collector's machine awaited. Her body trembled, her knees weakened, but her feet moved forward. The chamber around her pulsed faintly, as if alive. The city above had forgotten her. The city below was just beginning to remember. Chapter 5. The Collector's Face. Alara's feet dragged across the stone floor, her body hollowed by exhaustion, her mind floating, half detached, as if she no longer fully belonged to it. The beggar prince receded behind her. His outstretched hand vanished into the dark. Before her loomed a vast, arched corridor. Walls lined with iron ribs, black wires coiling along the ceiling like veins. Thin glass panels glowed faintly between the supports, their pale light casting long, stretched shadows across the floor. Each panel reflected her as she passed, but not quite. In one, her skin was paper white. In another, her eyes were hollow, her mouth gone. In another, she saw herself already draped in black, face hidden behind a smooth, mirrored mask. The air thickened, a pressure settling into her chest, her throat. The corridor opened at last into the heart of the machine. A vast circular chamber, ringed in mirrors from floor to ceiling. Between them stood tall brass columns, each cradling a glass bottle, each softly pulsing with that now familiar glow. The bottles lined the room in neat, precise circles, hundreds, thousands, more than she could count, their light folding endlessly inward through the infinite reflections. At the chamber's center stood the collector. Tall, thin, wrapped in black from head to toe, his gloved hands moved with slow, deliberate precision, lifting one bottle, turning it gently, tilting it toward the mirrored walls to catch the dancing light. His face was covered by a mirrored mask, smooth, flawless, reflecting only Alara's pale, trembling form back at herself. He did not turn as she approached. The chamber's hum rose slightly, a low breath passing through the machinery, rattling the glass faintly in its cradle. Alara's knees buckled. She collapsed to the cold floor, her hands braced in front of her, her body shaking under the weight of something vast, ancient, patient. The collector moved so slowly, placing the bottle he held back into its slot. One by one, the mirrors around the room tilted inward, bending their reflections to meet her. A thousand fractured Alaras staring back, wide-eyed, hollow, lost. Her breath came in shallow gasps. She tried to rise, but her body refused. The collector extended one hand, in the palm, a bottle. Her bottle. Inside, the faintest flicker of light, pulsing softly, rhythmically, like a heart, just before its last beat. She stared into the mirrored mask, searching for any trace of a face, of a human behind the glass, but there was only herself, only her, stretched, multiplied, lost. Her hand lifted slowly, trembling as she reached forward. The air pulsed around her, the mirrors tightened their angle, the hum deepened. Folding inward, drawing breath from every bottle in the chamber, her fingers touched the glass, cold, delicate, final. The collector stepped back, his gloved hands folding neatly, precisely. The mirrors straightened, the chamber fell silent. In that moment, Alara understood this was not surrender, this was not escape, this was continuation. The endless turning of the machine, the endless hum of bottles, the endless quiet stealing of sleep and soul. The old collector was gone. The mask, the gloves, the machine now waited for her. And deep in the mirrored heart of the city, the cycle turned once more. Chapter 6. The Hollow Hour. Alara's fingers closed around the bottle. It pulsed once, faintly, like a dying heartbeat. The glass was cold, the weight delicate, and yet it pressed into her hand with the gravity of a thousand sleepless nights. The collector stood unmoving. The mirrored mask reflected only her own pale face, hollow eyes, cracked lips, skin stretched thin over trembling bones. Around them, the mirrors folded inward, tightening, the countless Alaras tilting closer, their wide, empty gazes pulling her deeper into the circle. The chamber's hum grew louder, its vibrations worming up through her feet, her legs, her spine, filling her ribs, her skull. She wanted to cry out, but her voice had long since crumbled, lost in the long hours, lost in the glow of the bottles lying neatly across her window, her shelves, her dresser. She had been emptied piece by piece, and this was the final shape left. The bottle glowed brighter in her hand, and then, with a soft exhale, not of air but of light, of self, she set it gently into the empty cradle waiting before her. The chamber inhaled. Mirrors rippled outward, reflections multiplying, warping, folding inward, reshaping. The brass columns pulsed faintly, the bottles aligned with clockwork teeth in a vast, delicate machine. The collector's figure stepped backward, folding into the dark, vanishing without sound, without mark, leaving only empty space where a presence had once been. And Alara rose. Her hands moved now with practiced precision. She lifted the next bottle, turned it gently, tilted it toward the mirrors, watched the light dance, the breath flicker, the essence curl faintly inside. Her head turned slowly, following the rhythm of the machine, her face hidden behind the smooth, mirrored mask, reflected the world back at itself, empty, waiting, eternal. The machine around her groaned softly, chains shifting, gears turning, wheels aligning. The bottles pulsed as one, inhaling, exhaling, a choir of quiet, stolen lives, locked in glass, humming softly to the rhythm of the hollow hour. Above, the city slept. Below, the chamber turned, and Alara, the new collector, began her silent, endless task. Somewhere far away, in a small, rain-flecked room lined with thin curtains, a new bottle appeared on a windowsill. Faintly, softly, it pulsed. A new breath. A new donor. A new beginning. And thus concludes a tale of bottled sleep and silent machines. Ah, dear listeners, you've walked a long descent, haven't you? You've followed Alara's quite unraveling through sleepless nights and shadowy streets, and a city that hides its second darker self beneath your feet. You've heard the choir's wordless song, felt the pulse of the bottles, and watched as the delicate machinery of the collector's world turned and turned again. In the end, there was no escape, only the endless continuation. The delicate trade of essence for silence, the slipping of one's soul into the hollow hour. Thank you for stepping into the dark with me tonight. If you like what I do here, visit my Patreon, which is www.patreon.com/SFGT. If you want to listen to the entire retinue of over 900 episodes of Stories, Fables, Ghostly Tales, you can visit my SoundCloud. Just simply search this podcast title in SoundCloud and you'll find me. And lastly, if you really love what I do, consider sending dollary dues my way like these amazing Patreon supporters. First up is my miraculous Ode Night Tea Titan, Matto Star. A comet that just blisters through the night sky. Matto, a deeply heartfelt thank you to my dream bottle guardian, the luminous, ever compassionate Matto Star. Matto, you're the kind of soul who would quietly step into a room filled with glowing bottles, not to steal their light, but to make sure none are left cold or forgotten. You'd wait at the threshold of the hollow hour, not hurrying anyone's choice, only offering a steady hand when the weight feels too much. In a world where sleep can be stolen, where essence slips away drop by drop, you are the warmth left behind. The softest blanket, the flicker of a candle in a window. The silent companion who makes a long night less empty. Your kindness isn't just support, mate. It's an anchor. A quiet promise that even when the gears turn and the bottles pulse, some lights will always burn gently, unwaveringly. Thank you, Matto, for not only helping this podcast grow and punch up, but for being the kind of soul who reminds us that presence itself is a kind of rescue from the dark. Have an amazing week ahead of yourself, Matto. You're epic. And now to my white tea warlords. First up is my pal, Lesosaurus Rex. If the sleep collector had ever approached Lesosaurus Rex, he would have been met not with trembling, but with a deadlift challenge. The collector steps forward, hands delicate, offering the mirrored mask, only for Leza to snatch it up, slap it onto a kettlebell, and plank straight through the hollow hour. No sleep stolen here, no essence bottle, just raw, unshakable determination flexing in the face of the eternal. Leza, you don't just bring strength to the podcast, you bring chaotic, undead-proof energy that could rattle even the quiet gears of the collector's machine. You're not just a warlord, you're the kind of legend the dark has to schedule around. Thanks for keeping this haunted house fiercely alive and beautifully defiant, my gym aficionado. Have a kick-ass week ahead, mate. Thanks, Leza. And my next white tea warlord, Maya, the Queen of Cats. The feline spirit in human skin, the one whose house no collector dares to visit unprepared. If the Hollow Hour ever reached your window, the cats would get there first, batting the bottles off the sill, chasing the pulsing light through the shadows, curling on your lap like nothing was wrong. The collector's gloved hand would tremble before knocking, knowing that behind your door waits not fear, but velvet-draped, sassy mystery, and the sharp little paw swiping at the dark. Maya, your mischievous, magical presence, and a perfect twist of clawed beauty to this podcast. You keep the balance between the strange and the sweet, the haunted and the hilariously alive. Thanks for being the delightful chaos in this quiet clockwork world. Have a fantastic week ahead, Maya. And thanks for being my pal. And my final white tea warlord, Sangeetha Cigar Seer Guide, the one the collector steps carefully around. If it can, you were born knowing how the gears turn. Where others see only the pulsing bottles, you see the map, the mechanism, the delicate chain of choices linking one soul to the next. The Hollow Hour doesn't frighten you. You'd walk right into the chamber, point at the mask and say, "Not today, mate." Sangeetha, your fierce, brilliant insights bring a mythic fire to this podcast. You are the psychic compass, the soul light, the quiet force threading through these tales, making sure the haunted are never quite alone. Thank you for seeing through the veil and still showing up week after week to share this strange, beautiful journey with us all. Thank you, Sangeetha. Have a great week, my friend. And now I want to thank my amazing Earl Grey enforcers. I am absolutely lucky to have Rhonda Ray, Seductive Smiles, Paige Kramer, Divided by Zero, Juicebox Andy, Just Heather, Peter Raffaele, and Chad Warren. Thank you all immensely for your amazing support. I hope you have a fantastic week, everyone, and I'll see you next week for some more spooky tales. If any of you lovely spooky tale enjoyers want to send me their own ideas for a story, or have any suggestions, or know any authors they would like to see on here, reach out to me via my email at storiesfablesghostlytales@gmail.com. And thank you so much for your support. And as always, till next we meet. See you soon.
Glass bottles line the window's edge. Dream light flickers on a sharpened ledge. Silent figures move without a pledge. Taking what the night can wedge. Stories, fables, ghostly tales. In every bottle a life inhales. As the hollow hour softly sails, every stolen breath unveils. Shadows cast where the first becomes the last. Mirrored mask with hollow eyes, silent watcher where the old self dies. Threads of essence twist and rise, feeding wheels that never lie. Fragile time, forever in the dark confined. Ghostly hands forever.